Bev said, "Pastor, Satan is attacking us. Maybe we need to settle things down for a while." I said, "Bev, if we do that, all he's going to do is to attack more. We'll be encouraging him that if he attacks and if he causes pain on the body, that we will back away from what God intends for us to do." My own sense and instinct is that when Satan sends things that he means for evil, that we should use them for good. When Satan attacks you, you ought to double your prayer efforts. Share your faith with more people. Study the Word of God more, not just so that you have a lifeline, but so that you make it hurt for him. I don't know about all of you where you're from. I know we have at least a handful, a smattering of people here who are from Michigan. How many of you here are from Michigan? We don't have the reputation in Michigan of being especially peaceful people. East Michigan, in particular, is kind of known as an area where people are rather feisty. In fact, they can be quite violent. So I understand once in a while when I give an illustration for some of you who have been raised here further east in a more settled and civilized and genteel area. It might be shocking, but when you have a bully, generally speaking, that wants to begin to bring harm, you have to hit him back. And I think the devil is an awful bully. He can't find anyone his own size. We're smaller in a sense, but God is infinitely bigger. But he just seems to enjoy causing heartache and misery. And so I really do feel when the devil hits you, hit back. Again, hit back in prayer. Hit back by increasing your efforts to be used by God. Make yourself, pardon? Go to prayer. Go to prayer. Go to prayer. Satan hates prayer. He tries to prevent it. He hates unified prayer. He tries to prevent that. But God's people, Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And so, matter what the difficulty is, I believe that we are going to be victorious, and I believe that it can become the foundation and the stepping stone for the greatest days this church has ever seen. Because having passed through a crucible, we will be stronger. We will be more vigilant. We will be more alert. We certainly will be more humble. And when we're humble and not proud, God empowers us. As we become less in our own eyes, God becomes greater. And his power is magnified, and his power is unleashed. Having said that, someone asked me, "So what time is the funeral service for Marcy?" If you did not receive that by email, Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. And we're going to have a viewing here beginning at 10. Marcy gave specific instruction about the service, that it is to be a time of celebration. I don't believe that we could disappoint Marcy now. She's in the presence of God. but I wouldn't want to risk it. And so as many of you as can, we want you to come, and we want it to be a true celebration of her life. There's also the concern that Stan expressed to me that with the time of the funeral being in the forenoon, there might be some of you who would not have the opportunity of coming. And I thought that it would be very appropriate to give some of you an opportunity to share what God might lay on your heart. Pastor Mitch is going to bring me a wireless or show me where it is or turn it on for me or whatever he does. I appreciate Mitch so much. I can't begin to express it. He got home from teen camp. I had a board member years ago who didn't know what he was talking about, who asked our youth pastor at Grant, Larry Jennings, if it wasn't kind of like being on vacation when he'd served 2 or 3 weeks in a row on a mission trip and at teen camps. And I thought, well, he obviously had never been a youth pastor. How many of you knew those kids required some strong supervision? So Pastor Mitch has been kind of going 24/7 for a number of days. Mitch, I salute you. Now, who has a word that they would like to share?
I met Stan and Marcy years ago. I had a fire at my home. I didn't know Marcy before that time. I just met her once because she belonged to the guard called my wife. And I was so out of it because of the fire, and I had no sleep. My wife had smoking lights. She wasn't there, and Marcy showed up. And they were trying to move my furniture out of my house, and it was just chaos, and everybody kept going, Wayne. I finally went hid behind my shed. I thought I was just going to, I don't know what. And Marcy showed up, and she took over. And it was unbelievable she got accomplished. And because of her and Stan, they brought me here. And they had a home on fire there, I did. And I worked their house for about a year, and I really got to know those people. And they're pretty common as a couple, some of the things going on, because Marcy, Stan, you know? Because he'd forget this, that, and everything. He just didn't seem to bother him too much, but it just to be around him was a great thing. And I really love those people. I miss them terrible. Her especially. I don't cry ever easy, but she really touched me, and Stan has too. And, that's about all I got to say. I can't deal anymore.
Most of you, can y'all hear me? Oh, am I too low? Hello? Okay. All right. Most of you guys and women here know me from at the door greeting you, hi, good morning, and all that great stuff. But I met Stan and Marcy in 2010, and I did a little work for them when I was living at the Acres, and finally I moved. But they asked me, can you come and help one day to do some garden work, right? So I'm thinking it's one garden, you know. Come to find out, holy smoke, I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm 52 years old, right? I worked 2 days doing some weeding and moving stuff around. I felt every bit of that for 2 days. And you know what their answer was? We're getting you prepared to work for Grindstone Farms. Okay, so that was a good thing. So I helped Marcy. My only thing with Marcy was I wanted her to be happy with my work. And every time I finished whatever she wanted me to do, she was so grateful and happy. Now, Stan, on the other hand, he would not give me credit for nothing, you know. He would call me the next day, we built a bridge for Marcy, and he said, it looks perfect. But that was it. Half of the time would be Marcy. But my thing with Marcy was that I knew that she loved this garden club thing, and that was her passion. And I just wanted to make sure that everything I did for her, that she was happy. And I always did that. And the final day was a Wednesday. I had an appointment, but I couldn't come. But she was so grateful for me to help to do that. And you could imagine her doing that all by herself. Now, I don't know where Stan was at when she was doing this. But imagine her doing this all by herself over how many years, I don't know. But, man, it was a lot of work. But it was also a lot of fun and a lot of experience for me. Now, I'm from New York City. I don't know nothing about planting. Okay, so for me to find a weed, okay, is that a weed or a plant? I'm confused. So you actually got to sit there and point it out to me, and then I'll take it from there. But it was such a great experience to be with Marcy. Even in her condition, she used to sit. We had a chair for her, and she would sit right there and say, "Keith, do that. And, okay, I got you. Is that okay? That's how we did it. And that was fine with me. You know what I mean? But it was just a great experience. And then she made, she said, "I have a Keith garden." I'm like, "Oh, Keith garden?" I was like, I thought I was hearing things. Then she made sure I heard it. "This is Keith garden right here. So I have a garden there. I don't know what Stan's going to do with it. I hope he take care of it for me." But it was just such a great experience to be around Marcy and how motivated she was. And she just kept going and going and going. And I got the call, and they had told me. Then Stan told me something about the journal. She said something in the journal about me, and I started crying, you know. And it was like I just seen her 2 weeks ago, and now she's gone. But, you know, she's in a better place. And, she encouraged me. I don't know a lot about planning, but she reminded me, though. And she said, "Do this and do that plant." I'm like, "What plant? I don't remember this stuff," you know. But it was a learning experience, and I'm so grateful for her to show me that. And Stan also, you know, he was around showing me little stuff, too. So, you know, everything was positive, and she's going to be missed. And, man, it's just, I don't know, I just feel so, 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 so sad, you know, about her being gone.
Hi, my name is Vic Ladd DeGraff, and I'd like to thank Stan and Marcy because they trained Keith to come work for us at Grindstone Farm, number one. But I decided this morning that as a tribute to Marcy, I would start my day as she would. So I started out with devotionals and 17 cups of coffee. So I'm warning you, this could take a while. I'm pretty wound up. I came to know Marcy through Garden Club and love her madly. And of course, when Marcy's present, she lit up the room. And you could tell she was unstatedly in charge in a very gracious way. You know, she never took authority, but you just understood this woman, he had command of everything. And I followed her, I think she was one or two terms maybe as president with the club, and I followed her as president after I retired. And she was right there beside me every month. Now, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do, but, you know, this is what I've done. And she just had such a sweet and gentle way of helping. She had such a servant's heart that was inspirational to everyone. And I always called her my fruity friend. And when I say fruity, I'm talking about fruits of the Spirit. Love, gentleness, kindness, self-control, forbearance. I know there's more, but I lost them after the 15th cup of coffee. But, she and Stan, what a team. What a team. And they blessed so many people. And she and I both were involved in a similar ministry, and when we found that out about each other, you know, it just bonded us even yet more closely, because she has such a servant's heart. And I just find it hard that anybody who would come in contact with her and just even know her briefly would not be drawn to want to know her more. She was God's gift to us, truly, truly, and a blessing in my life and in so many others. And I thank you, Pastor, for encouraging your people to be prayer warriors, because truly, truly, it's time to rise up and come against these works of Satan that are just attacking us and you know, the good, godly people. So with that, I just thank you for giving me a little platform to share. And, you know, bless you, Stan and Jamie and all the rest of the family.
I truly believe that Marcy was sent to us by God for a reason. And also, I prayed for Pastor John and Linda to come here, and my prayers were answered, but it was God's plan. It was his plan. And I prayed that we would receive a pastor that was passionate about God and serving God. And he is. He's just, Linda and Pastor are just great. So getting back to Marcy, I believe that she really was sent to us for a reason. She counseled me for a time when I was going through a difficult time. She gave me words from the Bible, and it really helped me when my spirit was broken. So I just praise her and thank her for that so much. I believe that God sent her to us for a reason, because her shining light, her personality, what she gave to other people, and that we should emulate that. We should become more like her in a giving way, and she just loved Jesus and loved people. So we should emulate her and look up to her to copy that and just try to be all that she was, and for God also, and praising Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda McNeely. I've known Marcy for years, and I've worked with her in many ministries. Loved her in every single one of them. And I have to concur with what everyone has said here about her. When she walked into a room, she lit it up. Joy and enthusiasm, her love for other people, and her love for God. But I think the one thing that touched me most about Marcy is her prayers. She was such a prayer warrior. When Marcy prayed with you, she like took you to God's throne. You felt like you were totally in his presence. The words that would flow from her were just beautiful. And those are things I'll miss. She was just a beautiful woman.
I'm Claudia. I just want to say probably the last thing Marcy would want is for us to emulate her, but who she was. And for me, she was God with skin on.
It's because Stan and Marcy, that Dave and I are still together.
I'm Mavis. Marcy and Stan were the first people that we met that introduced us to the church here. They were so instrumental in the mini churches that we had, because she believed with all her heart that we have the main service, but then you get together every week and you come together, you encourage one another, you go over the sermon, you laugh, you cry together. Whatever was said in the mini group stayed there. The people that grew and was able to go into ministry from that has been absolutely remarkable. And I really believe that God plucked a love magnet in her, because she just drew people to her, whether you really thought about it or not. Everyone was so happy to see her. And with all her jewelry that she wore, I used to call her our California girl, because she could wear it like nobody else could and look wonderful all the time. Always smiled. When my husband went through his cancer, she was on the phone all the time. She didn't give up. She never gave up on anyone. And with that, we've got that with us. She was a big part of the glue that held us together here. But that glue hasn't dissolved, because she left it in our hearts. And we've got each other, and we can lift up each other, and we can come together as she recommended. And we love her, we love Stan. She took care of everything, Stan will tell you that. But he was her strength behind her. She was the one that was up front, but she let everyone know that Stan was her man. And she loved him dearly. And her sweet daughter, Jamie, she never stopped talking about her. Her grandsons, I just told them earlier, she would share all the things they got into, and we would laugh together, but she wouldn't laugh in front of them because they'd been corrected. But she knew they were boys, and she loved it. And we've been blessed, and we're all blessed with each other. And I just thank the Lord for everyone here.
Good morning. I met Marcy 16 years ago. Back then I was a little rough around the edges, a little violent, not the woman that you see here. That's because she taught by example how to love, how to be godly. And nothing she ever did was because she wanted to do it. It was all because it was going to honor God. And the very first verse I learned as she mentored me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your might, and he will direct your path straight. And I think if we remember what her mission was, to serve so she could give glory to God, then we can do the same for our community.
I have a few thoughts to give meaning to all of this. I'm very well aware that some of you didn't really even know Marcy. We're not talking about Marcy for Marcy's sake. She's in the presence of God. We're sharing these things to put a name and a face to the way God would have us act. I'll have the opportunity of sharing again on Tuesday some thoughts that God has laid on my heart. But I want to share just this much right now. I met Marcy a little over 3 years ago. Linda and I were out at Tom and Linda Basciani's place. They were having a number of meet and greet kind of meetings. This is when I remember meeting her. And I talked with Marcy, and I came away with two impressions. A, she is West Coast. I thought, I am looking at a woman who had to have been a hippie. And the second impression was this. I thought, boy, I don't know how many cups of coffee she drank before she came here, but she can't possibly, this was my thought, she can't possibly actually be that enthusiastic all of the time. My feeling was, okay, you've seen her a first time. She has put her best foot forward. How many of you do that sometimes? And so after Linda and I moved out here, I kept waiting for her to get back to normal. We're still waiting. That was normal for her. She would come into the office, we would have long talks and have prayer, and she always seemed to know what was going on in everyone's life, which absolutely astounded me. I thought, self, either she knows who every gossip in the area is, or she is keeping directly in touch with a tremendous number of people. She was totally wired in. She was totally networked, and that was a passion of hers. And it wasn't once in a while. She seemed to have the capacity of truly knowing where you were at in your walk, in your life, if you were passing through times of difficulty. I share all of that by way of saying this. I have a message. I'm prepared to preach it. It's just today is not the day God wants me to. I'm okay with that. The message is about a man named Job. Keith came and he asked me who Job was, and I can give the thumbnail version. Job was a righteous man in an unrighteous time. Satan came to God and, speaking about Job, said in essence, he only serves you because you bless him. And so God allowed Satan to begin to attack. And Satan attacked and attacked, took away basically everything he had. Then Job's friends came in to encourage him. They encouraged him the way I have heard, I guess I'll go ahead and say it, some people who attend churches where there is a gospel of health and wealth preached. You know, you're not allowed to get cancer because someone will say, if you do, that you must have some reason that God is angry with you. Because if you were living right, you would just have all this endless blessing. In Job's life, the opposite of that was true. God was holding him up and allowing things to happen because he knew that Job would be faithful and would give praise and honor to God. And so we get all the way to the end of the book. The way the King James Version of the Bible puts it is this way. He said, and God turned the captivity of Job when he began to pray for his friends. After all Job had passed through, he repented toward God. As a boy, I wondered what on earth he had to repent. He repented toward God because he had been tempted also to believe that God was a God who just poured out blessing upon you if you were good and bad things if you were not. And he had come to see who God truly was. That God is a God of love and of mercy. Always. He He is not a vengeful God who is in heaven waiting for you to mess up so that he can, with delight, send all sorts of pain into your life. That's not to say that God doesn't sometimes allow us to experience pain, to chasten or to correct us. But it is to say that all of this life is simply preparation for a much larger life that lies beyond. And so many things that happen in this life to us have less to do with us than they have to do with what's going on in the kingdom and the message that God wants to give others through our lives. And so, if you're passing through a difficult time, don't assume that God doesn't love you anymore. God always loves you. And don't assume that you are being corrected. It could simply be that God allows the hardship to come because hardships, when they come intently enough, put you on a platform and people begin to listen to every word you say. And sometimes God is wanting that voice of faithfulness heard. I believe that that, in a sense, was the case with our sister Marcy. She gave praise to God all the way through. To Linda and I, on Thursday, late afternoon, she expressed her excitement about the fact that she was going to see Jesus. That is what real believers do. Because we don't hope that there's a heaven. We know it. And we don't hope that someday we'll see God and that he will overlook sin. We know when he has forgiven us. We have assurance. We have peace in our spirits, and we can have joy no matter what the circumstance is. I came to know Marcy better in 3 years. I shared with her Thursday night. I said, "Marcy, how is it that God could put so much love in my heart for you when I've only known you 3 years?" But they were a pretty intense 3 years at times, in a good sense. And my belief is that what God wants to do is he wants to raise up many more. Marcy was always the one smiling. If she ever had to correct you, I'm betting she smiled while she did it. And so her smile is not going to be seen, but someone else's must be seen. And so which of you are willing to be that person? This is an altar call. Who is willing to be that one? There you go. She was the one who watched people like a hawk when they came through, and she had a high degree of what's called emotional intelligence. She could look at a person and know what they were experiencing. She made it her business to go to people who were going through difficulty and in a time of pain, and to find out what was going on in their life and give them support and give them encouragement. Who will do that? It's going to take more than one. That's right. It can't be done by mere intention. It can't be done simply in the flesh. The thing that made Marcy special, they weren't Marcy qualities, they're Holy Spirit qualities. And if you want to be talked about when you're gone, the way Marcy has been talked about today, you need the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would raise up many. Lord, the day will come when my voice will be stilled, and my prayer is that the words that I have been able to express, the thoughts and the spirit, would come out through other mouths and other lips. I pray that You would take this ministry that Marcy has had and that You would reproduce it in many lives now. Lord, it is literally true what You said in Your word, that except a seed fall into the ground and die, that it cannot bring forth life. But if it does, it can bring forth 30 and 60 and even 100-fold. But it all is about us putting ourselves into Your hand and allowing You to sow us wherever You choose. And so I ask that You would touch each one, whether they are at this altar or whether they are out there, not sure, they want to make a spectacle, not sure perhaps exactly what all of this means, that You would speak and that You would raise up and that we would truly be that mighty army that is raising up off that valley of the dry bones with the breath of God and the breath of life within us. Thank You, Lord, for what You did in this woman's life, and thank You for what You are doing in ours. And please give us the resolve, not just a nice attitude today, the resolve to go out of those doors and to take that message everywhere we go. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.